I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and with me today is Julie Sharon Osher. She was a captain in the Army. She was not in the Army when I met her. She was a captain, and she just had no choice as to how to adopt time management. We go into that during this episode. And one of the cool things about chatting with her is that it occurred to me that everyone's path to time management, to productivity, is different. Mine led me down the path of Costco and then into comedy and now to where I'm at. Hers was through the military. So it's a fascinating story. We talk about a lot of cool things, including, you know, her own system, her own approach, what she teaches people. And I'm hoping you're going to learn quite a bit from her today. If you want to learn more from her, I'll share with you some ways that you can do that, as well as a slew of other things you can get. We'll talk about that at the tail end of this episode. But for now, let's get to this discussion I had with Julie Sharon Osher of imjulie.com, productivity specialist, here on the Productivityist Podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Mike Vardy here, and I am with Julie Sharon Osher here. And Julie, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. It's the afternoon for you there, right? Where you are right now, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's late afternoon.
Yeah, see, so me, I'm up early. This is one of the things that I both love about the internet, is that you can reach out to people across the miles, because you're in Israel right now.
Yeah.
For me, it's like 7:15 in the morning. And you all know how I feel about mornings, so it's with mixed emotion.
I do appreciate it.
So, Julie, why don't you tell a little bit of about yourself to the listeners before we dive in?
Sure. So, I'm Julie, and as you mentioned, I live in Israel. I am in the productivity niche as well. And I started this journey about 6 years ago when actually an accident happened and I broke my back. I used to be a captain in the Israeli Defense Forces. I used to work a lot of hours, like 16 to 18 every day. And one day I just bent over to pick up a watermelon and I just couldn't raise up again. So I found myself with a herniated disc. I got through a very long, meticulous, and very painful rehabilitation, and at the end of which my doctor announced that I need to start working 4 hours a day. I had no idea how to do that, so I started learning everything I could about productivity, and nothing worked. Probably because both you and I know, Mike, that you can't just take something that works for someone else and copy-paste it into your life. You
right.
need to actually find what works for you.
Yep.
And I kind of failed on this point. But I decided that it just cannot be done. So I quit working 4 hours a day. I worked 9 hours a day. And guess what? 2 months later, two more herniated discs. This already put me in a very dangerous medical situation. And my doctor told me that I cannot work more than 4 hours a day, unless I want to celebrate my 30th birthday in a wheelchair, which wow. I did not want.
No,
at
of course,
all.
Of course not. Of course not.
I was 26. I was like life in front of me. I really couldn't imagine myself doing that. And having these accidents really, really brought real flashes into my life of what it is to be handicapped, because I really needed help with like getting to the shower and going to the bathroom, things that you really don't think much of when you do them daily. And suddenly they were a problem. So I decided that my health comes first. And I came to my officers and told them, look, this is the situation. I can't work more than 4 hours a day. I am not going to end up in a wheelchair. I can do this job. I was doing two jobs at the time. I was responsible for life or death systems, big systems, really important ones. I knew I couldn't do it in 4 hours. So I asked them for a transfer, because you can't just quit when you're in the Army.
Mm.
And they didn't grant it. They said that they actually loved what I was doing while I was working 18 hours and 9 hours, and they don't mind me working 4 hours as long as everything got done.
Wow. So that was your new mandate. That was your new mission, is to get that down to 4 hours.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't know how to do this in 4 hours, and things crumbled apart, like things, really important things. Things that matter, life or death for soldiers on the border, things that are really, really important, that are above my own, you know, well-being. And I came back to them and I said, well, I can't do this. Can you move me to someplace? Yes, I will train anyone who you like, but this job cannot be done in 4 hours. And they said that they don't have anyone else. They don't want to spend the time of training a newbie into this job. This was a very complicated job. And basically the answer is no. So I went on a drastic side and said, okay, I want to break my contract.
Mm.
I will pay whatever fine you want. I will go to court. I will do whatever it is. I'm not staying here. I have 2 more years on my contract and I will not spend them feeling like a failure and failing my subordinates, my commanders and soldiers on the border. This will not happen. And they said, well, of course, this is your choice, but you need to know that the procedure of breaking a contract takes about 24 months. So you can either, you know, break it, stay for the 2 years of the procedure and pay a fine, or you can just stay for the 24 months that you have left on your contract and not pay a fine.
Wow, they really had you over a barrel.
Yeah. But, you know, at the moment, when first it happened, I really felt that everyone were against me. But, you know, with age and perspective, you really come to understand that they were doing the best thing that they could do for the army.
Right, right.
And the best thing was to keep the person that was holding everything together, aka myself, in place.
Right.
So I really can't blame anyone. I actually think that thanks to this conversation, this was a very critical moment in my past. This was when I gave up at all. I already established that I'm no good with time management because nothing worked, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I can't work more than 4 hours a day. I knew that I had to work at this job that cannot be done at 4 hours a day. So I just decided that everything is going to crapville anyways. So I'm just going to have fun with it. And I'm just going to decide every morning what is the one thing that I don't let fall between the cracks. Just one thing.
Right.
And it could be really as small as a meeting or an email or as big as initiating a new project or writing a new software.
Right.
And I stuck with it. And after 2 months, it came that everything that I had planned for that quarter was done.
All the big important things that you did that mattered. Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, small things, you know, bureaucracy and paperwork and stuff like that, they didn't get done and there were problems and I was, you know, getting slapped on the wrist. But the important stuff, the things that matter, the life or death situation for the soldier, they were all done. And I started kind of realizing that it has to fit me. I'll cut the story because I think I'm already rambling. But after 2 years, those 2 years that I had to stay there, not only, they also told me that they will never promote me, obviously, because a person who works 4 hours a day cannot be, you know, put on a pedestal.
Sure.
Because this is not a behavior they want to encourage, obviously.
Right.
After 2 years, I got promoted thrice. I actually owned the jobs of every single person in the room that told me that I will never be promoted. We got awarded, we got decorated, our team and myself in separate. And when it was my time to be released, they actually presented a new contract that stated that I have to work physically in the office for 1 hour a day and that's it. And they were willing to do that because they had no idea how everything that got done was being done
in 4 hours. How? What did you do? Did you still decide to pass on it and move away at that point, right?
I decided that to be released anyways. I must admit, I was getting bored.
Right.
I know that it sounds really ungrateful, but I just wanted a bigger challenge. And during that time, for the past year, I finished everything I had in like an hour and a half to 2 hours, and I had extra 2 hours, which I spent training other officers to how they can do the same thing in their teams, with their subordinates and with their tasks. And I really loved it. And this is what I want to do. And this is what I have been doing ever since I got released.
So you've taken now what stuff did you learn in the military per se? So I mean, obviously through the accident that you had and the limitations that were placed upon you, what lessons did you learn within the military structure itself that you've kind of carried forward to pass on to others in terms of their own time management, you know, kind of enhancing that?
First and foremost thing is planning each day separately. Each day is an entity, and if something was the most important thing yesterday, it doesn't mean that it's the most important thing today. This was a big one
right.
for me and for most my subordinates, obviously. The second thing was that when you plan, you need to take into consideration everything, not just the thing that bug you at the back of your mind, the projects and the meetings and the obvious things that are your tasks, but everything that you're about to invest your time in. So it's kind of like with money, when you do budgeting and you plan, okay, I need to have this amount for rent and this amount for food and this amount for bills. And then you forget that every morning you go to Starbucks on your way to work and you spend a few dollars on a coffee.
Right.
And throughout the month, it accumulates. So this is exactly like that with time. You need to put everything on the map, even the smallest things, and then you need to prioritize them.
So tell me a little bit about when you're teaching someone, because you know me, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this, is the idea that I'm very task focused. And I think that interestingly enough, as I think that despite you know saying, you know, you've got the podcast Time Hackers and you go to your blog, which we'll talk about at the end of the show, you've got a link for everybody, which is great. But time and task are inextricably kind of related. How do you kind of I imagine looking at what you've done is that you've say okay, like, let's focus on time, because if you do that, but let's focus on a way that gets your tasks done. So that way, like you said, you only had 4 hours per day to do the things you needed to do. So how do you connect those two? Because a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll just say, I've got 24 hours in the day and I'm just going to try to do as much as possible in that time. And then I'm going to move forward in the next day and I just keep going through the motions.
Okay. I know a few people that it works for them. I'm not one of them. It never worked for me. Probably because I'm a control freak. I need to know that the things that I want to accomplish are scheduled and they have time on my schedule that they actually have. It's like
what
a
doesn't
suitcase.
Get scheduled doesn't get done. Yeah.
You know, it's not that it doesn't get done as much as it might not get done and I'm not willing to risk it.
Right.
Kind
okay.
of thing.
Okay.
It's like packing a suitcase. I mean, you would never forget to pack your toothbrush, right?
You would never want to forget to pack your toothbrush.
Yeah. That's a better phrasing. But if you don't want to forget to do that, what do? You just leave your whatever little pack that you have it in open in your suitcase and you don't close it until you put it in.
Right.
You need to have this space there.
Right. Or you, what I do is I actually have I have a separate toothbrush that just stays in there.
So for travel.
Yeah, exactly. So when we saw each other at Podcast Movement, like what I'll do, and I guess this is, I mean, again, this is, it's interesting because some people don't have that capability. Maybe it's because they don't, you know, they haven't done and been proactive about it, but I've traveled enough, as I'm sure you have, where it's like, okay, you know what? I'm tired of packing this thing consistently. Why don't I just have a separate bag that's already packed that has everything in it? So when I get home from travel, all I need to do is when I unpack is replenish it. So add maybe some more toothpaste, maybe mm-hmm. I used, you know, and then put it back in there. And that way, when I start packing, I'm not thinking, oh, don't forget that toothbrush, because I already know it's in there. So I guess there's two ways to do that, right?
Yeah, I think it depends on the task. This is exactly what I do with my social media and my email engagement. Yeah. I just have a time slot every single day at the same hour where I, like, my body is already trained, like Pavlov dogs. I know that when 4 p.m. comes, okay, it's time for social media. That's it.
Right, right.
Every single day. Instead of planning it and planning to have it every single day and trying to cram it into my schedule. Yeah, same thing. But really, when you said it, people say, okay, I have 24 hours and I'm going to try to cram as much as I can and go through the motions. The real thing is that you don't have 24 hours mm-hmm. and you don't realize that until, as I said, you put everything in front of you. So you need to sleep, right?
Yeah, of course. And a lot of people don't get enough of it.
Yeah, because you know why? Because show me one person that has sleep 8 hours on their to-do list.
No, you know what? There's only one person that I've ever seen schedule sleep, and it's Tony Robbins, and he doesn't schedule 8 hours. I think he schedules 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but he schedules religiously as well. Like, it's interesting because I don't – I think what I do, and this is kind of, I mean, is through the theming that I do, is that it gives me that flexibility to say, okay, today's a creative day. So I do it by exclusion almost, and yeah, inclusion. So instead of saying from 2 to 3, I'm going to do email, I say, okay, well, I do check email a couple times, 2 to 3 times per day. But if I'm going to dive into a deep dive into email, I won't do that unless it's Monday or Thursday, because those are my administrative days. So like that way, within, you know, a 48-hour period of you emailing me, if it's something that's, you know, I want to give a thoughtful response to, you're going to get a response. But so there are lots of different ways to do it. My biggest thought process behind this is, and I like what you do, because I mean, when I don't like to be specific if I do schedule something, and I do, I sometimes put things in the calendar that need to, if I'm working on a book proposal, or I want to spend some time on a specific project, I will make that appointment with myself, because that's really what it is, so that I can lock it down. But the thing is if I do schedule, and when I recommend people who do need to do this, because not everybody has the freedom that I do necessarily, or even that you do at this point, is be a bit more flexible. So when you say social media time at 4 o'clock or email at whatever time, I mean, you're not saying I have to deal with this particular email, or I have to deal with this type of social media. You're giving yourself some freedom within that, you know, kind of, I guess, within the grayscale or the scale, I guess, within that little time frame, right?
It's even more than that. I also have theming for my days. So I know that I have days that are podcasts, I have days that are writing, days that are projects, all sorts of days, meetings, whatever. So this hour, for me, I can't not check my inbox. It's a disease, but I'm aware of it. And I know that it doesn't take me a long time to glance at my inbox, but I have a really strict rule. I cannot, unless it's archive, handle my emails throughout the day. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can just, you know, see, I can't open it. I can't read what's inside. I can see just, you know, the title, who sent it to me, and the first sentence or two, perhaps. That's it.
So you scan it.
Yeah. And it keeps me, you know, keeps my OCD at bay. I know what's going on in my inbox. I know that nobody died. I know that everything is okay, but I am not spending time on it. So while I'm drinking my coffee or while I'm walking my dog, I can scan my inbox and that's it. When I get my hour of social media and emails, I don't dive right into those emails either. What I do, I look, what project is this email in relation to? And I put it in the task list of the project. And when my day comes that I deal with projects, and I prioritize this project, I prioritize these tasks, and I answer the email if it's prioritized for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit every day for an hour and answer emails. That's a waste of my time, I think.
Right. No, I think how do you deal with it, though? And this is, I think someone will ask us this, is, okay, say somebody emails you about a project, and it seems, I mean, and we all know that people treat email as an urgency mechanism as opposed to an important mechanism, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you deal with it if it's something related to a project and you know you're not going to work on that project for, you know, 4 days? How do you deal with responding? Because some people get really edgy about that, right? They're like, hey, where are you? Like, I'm sure you've probably received emails, the initial email, and then like a day later, like, hey, I'm just following up. Like, how do you deal with that?
If I get most of my clients know that this is how I operate, because this is kind of at the get-go.
You set boundaries.
Yeah, things work in this way. I read everything. If you send something that is really urgent and needs my, you know, tending to, then I will respond immediately. But if it's just in relation to our day-to-day job, no worries. I'll answer it when it's, you know, up on the list. If I get, which I usually don't, but some people are really, you know, they're worried that perhaps I didn't get the email or whatever, and they said, hey, how are you doing? Just checking in. I will use up my time during my email and social media hour a day just to answer, no worries, handling it on this and that day.
So just give them a quick update, so that way they're not left, quote, hanging, which is really, all you're doing is mitigating it, because it's their problem, not yours.
Well,
do you know what I mean? Like,
but people, this is how, like, have you ever seen people on a subway when a phone goes ping and like 20 people start searching for their iPhones?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
How can you enjoy your life when you're constantly allowing yourself to get interrupted?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, people are, So it floors me. And I guess, I mean, I want to talk a little bit about tools in a bit here, but it floors me that people are fine with being interrupted. And you talked about Pavlov's dog before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very easy to have your agenda, you know, kind of compromised or, you know, controlled pushed aside rather, because somebody else, you know, email will tell you what to do. I see it all the time. I'm sure you do too, where it's like, you know, people get, they don't know what to do next because they don't have it, like you said, but they haven't tracked it they haven't measured it. So they say, well, email will tell me or social media will tell me. And so, like, I guess, how do you tell people that struggle with this? Because you've seen it. So how do you help people that struggle with this? Because it is, it's a problem, because you can't get any real great work done if you're constantly being interrupted or going after the whims of what somebody else wants you to do over what you really want to be doing.
Well, this is exactly it. It's the very first commander I had in the army told me once that if you ever want to do something extraordinary, you have to push the ordinary out of your schedule, because it will take up as much time as you will allow it to. Yeah. And this goes back right to that. So the very first thing I do when I'm with a client, or even when a friend asks me, well, I need to get this done and I just don't find the time for it, we do a daily planning process. It's a 7-step process that I developed that works for me, obviously. And it helped a lot of my coaching clients, mentoring clients, and students in general. And what we do, we start by outlining all the tasks, like brain dumping, everything that you want to get done tomorrow or today. If you're doing it in the morning, that's fine too. Like everything, pick up the kids after practice, make dinner, go to the grocery store, and obviously project tasks and working tasks and answer email and check stuff, everything, like just brain dump everything. Even if you don't think you'll have time for it, just write it down, take it out of your head. Mm-hmm. And once you have it outlined in front of you, you can look at everything at all at once, instead of constantly trying to remember all the things that you're trying not to forget. And B, your brain kind of has a relief. Ah, finally, I don't need to work so hard to keep up with everything. It's just written down, so you'll get to it eventually. So this is the first thing we do. The second thing we do, and I think you do this too, maybe you call it in a different way, but I divide all tasks into 4 groups.
Yeah, go ahead, because I do the same. That's what I teach people as well.
I remember that I heard you talk about it somewhere.
The daily map. Yep, the daily map.
Yeah. So what I do is I suggest them to divide their tasks into 4 groups. So we have boulders, we have pebbles, we have sand and water. Mm-hmm. It's going back to the old story about, you know, the jar of life.
Yep.
So the boulders are the stuff that are either urgent or important or both. So this may be picking up your kids after practice, because you won't leave your kids hanging out. Mm-hmm. Alone, yep. Obviously. So this is a boulder. Boulder is something that has to be done and will be prioritized first. Or it can be something that you define as important, even if it's not urgent. For example, if you're trying to learn Spanish and you decided that every day, 1 hour a day, you're going to sit and study Spanish, you can define this as a boulder and bump it up in your priorities of your day. Next come pebbles, which are all the things that it's great if you do them today. But seriously, if something happens, like if something bad happens and you can't, the sky won't fall on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like when I often give an example of a student that has an exam next week, and it will be really awesome if they start learning like today, because then they'll have all this time and they'll be able to practice everything. But seriously, if their grandmother is in a hospital, you know, they can postpone it for tomorrow or even, you know, a couple of days before the exam itself.
Right.
So this is a pebble task. A sand task is a task that is either shorter than 20 minutes, so it won't take a lot of time to do it, or you can do it in parallel with something. So you can perhaps make a call while you're commuting or while you're walking your dog or while you're doing the dishes, something that you can squeeze other things with. And yeah, it's 9 years.
Yeah, that's not going to necessarily. I mean, it's interesting because people multitasking, you can't necessarily. I mean, we know it's you can't do multitasking in its purest sense. But I mean, yeah, there's. I mean, I listen to podcasts while I wash the dishes all the time, right? So I mean,
exactly. Yeah, and yeah. It's a great way to use up this time because you need to do the dishes. So why not combine it?
Yep.
And the water tasks are the tasks that are kind of similar to sand because they're also small and you can do them in parallel. But the thing is, sand tasks have a certain deadline. Even if it's a far deadline, water tasks don't have a deadline. For example, listening to a podcast episode, if mm-hmm. it's just, you know, a podcast that you enjoy, it doesn't have a deadline.
No, but dishes, you know, but dishes do.
But dishes do. Exactly. Exactly. And the funny thing is, if you ignore sand tasks long enough, they'll grow into pebble. Mm-hmm. And if you ignore the pebbles, they'll grow into boulders. But guess what? If you ignore water, they're just going to evaporate. Nothing's right. going to happen.
Right.
So this is the first thing that we do. And actually, I developed a cool little tool. It's, you know, it's a table that you just enter all your tasks and you enter the task and you answer four questions, yes or no questions, and it just blurbs out every single task that you entered, if it's a boulder, a pebble, sand, or a water. So you don't need to hassle about it.
That's fascinating. Because, I mean, that's what a lot of people struggle with, right? They struggle with, well, what is this, right? I mean, I come across this all the time. Like, what mode should I use or what thing? And the problem is that for a lot of these things, it's subjective, right? So you have to ask questions of yourself. Like, you know, for yours, it would. I mean, the tool that you talk about, those questions, they need to be, they will define it. And I think that's what a lot of people need to do. Productivity is largely built around awareness and understanding of oneself, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
So, I mean, if you can get that down, then you're way ahead of what most people, because most people don't stop to kind of get that awareness. Like, I was at an event last night, and It was a 99U local event. 99U is a blog that, you know, a lot of people, artists, creative artists have gone to. I'm sure you've been to it too, Julie. And one of the quotes was, silence is not an absence, but a presence. And I thought that's really important, because a lot of people, what they do is that if they get silence, they need to fill it with something that it may already be something that they need to do. So it's like boredom doesn't exist anymore. If you're bored, then you must fill it with something. But sometimes it's okay to be bored. Definitely it's okay to have quiet moments, because that's when you can have those moments of insight. That's when you can do these things, like your brain goes, hey, remember this? Hey, it's like a little knock on the, you know, like, hey, remember this thing? Don't forget this thing, because if you do, you know. So I think that those moments are really important, because then you can answer those questions honestly, as opposed to just trying to rush through it, right?
You know, it reminds me of such a funny story. One of the questions that I ask is, you know, not through this process, but when someone tells me, well, I need to do something and I don't think I'm going to be done by the deadline, and I don't know if I should push other things and squeeze this in, or I should give up on that. Because, you know, when you're in this situation, you really don't know. You're kind of in a deadlock.
Right.
And I had actually a high school student. I was giving a speech to a group of high school students, and one of them said, well, I have a problem right now. Can you fix it for me? Can you help me figure it out? Sure, no problem. And he's like, well, I have this paper and it's due on a Sunday. In Israel, Sundays are work days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving the speech on a Friday. And Saturday, for those who are religious, is a day where you do no work. You don't study, you don't write, you don't, you know, turn on electricity, for people who really keep to the Jewish traditions. And the seminar was for young people who come from families that keep to the tradition. And he said, well, I usually study during Sabbath, but and I promise, like, we're in the seminar, and I promise that I will to respect everyone around me, but I really didn't get any of this work done, and it's due on a Sunday, and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to offend anyone around me, but then again, I don't want the consequences of not having the paper ready.
Right.
And I was like, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, if you don't submit this paper on a Sunday, what will be the consequences? And you know what he told me?
Mm.
I won't I won't graduate high school.
Wow.
In his mind, this paper equaled not graduating high school. And like, we talked a bit and unraveled, and it turned out that actually the teacher that teaches this class, he looks up to him, and he really didn't want to disappoint him. But truthfully, if he called him and asked, he probably could get a 24 to 48 hours extension for the paper.
Right.
But we started at I won't graduate.
Right.
And I think that it's most people,
the stories we tell ourselves.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it's amazing the things that we tell ourselves. I had a client and I asked her and she said, well, I have to do this by the end of the week. And there was no way she could have done it with everything that she has said for herself. And I was like, well, what's going to happen if you don't? I will be fired. Seriously? Really? Really? If you postpone it to Monday instead of Friday, really fired?
Yeah,
it's the thing, and I think that we scare ourselves into that because we feel that if it's important enough, then we'll find the time to do that.
Right. Yep.
And it's I what you said about the silence, that it's not a lack of, it's actually a presence. It's funny. Just before we started this talk, I saw a video. I shared it in my Facebook profile of older women talking about life and what they would tell themselves if they would live in our age right now with everything that we have. And the biggest message that every single one of them said was, I am a human being, not a human doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this, like, the being, we don't have the being anymore.
No.
It's not okay to have the being. You can't measure that. And it's like, well, what's the benefit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Julie, we have to wrap up, but before we do, can you tell people where they can find you? And I know you've got something special that you want to share with everybody.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. So everything that I do, the blog, the podcast, everything is over at imjulie.com. And those four groups that I talked about and the questions that lead you to it, I prepared a little chart, one-page chart that will allow you to divide all your to-dos into that in 30 seconds or less. I'm giving it away to your listeners completely free, and it can be found over at imjulie.com/productivitist. I hope you'll enjoy it, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Julie, so much for joining me this. And please come back on again, because I mean, I think we got to really into a good place and scratch the surface, but I really want to do another deep dive with you at some point down the line.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. And absolutely, once I'm back drinking coffee, we need to meet in perhaps Winnipeg and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, well, I've never been there either. So there we go.
There you
we can
go.
Both meet in Winnipeg and do some kind of productivity thing there. That gives me reason to travel there as well. So there you go.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks, Julie.
Let's do that. Thank you, Mike.
And there you go. That was our discussion, but not the entire discussion. Remember I told you you'd be able to learn more from Julie if you wanted to? Well, you can if you become a member of our Patreon community. If you support the Productivityist podcast for as little as $1 a month, you will get additional content, not just on the weekly episodes, because every Patreon podcast has additional content that you don't get as a public listener. The public podcast doesn't get that, but you also get 4 bonus episodes every single week. That started back in October of actually it started, you know, early November of 2015. And this year, as I'm recording this, and it's been warmly received. You can become a member of the Slack community. There are lots of perks available. So just go to patreon.com/productivityist. Even if you're interested, check it out. If you're not interested and you can support me in any way, shape, or form, just spread the word about the podcast. I'd really like to have more people listen to it. It's how they find the show, by word of mouth, by folks like yourselves. Again, go to imjulie.com to learn more about Julie Sharon Osher as well, all about her work. Head over to productivityist.com to learn more about me and my work, and reach out to me. If you want to email me, contact me at askmike@productivityist.com so I can learn more about you and your work and how I can help you out. Thanks again for listening this week. Until we speak again, stop guessing, start going, and keep moving things forward. We'll see you next time.